Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
100% need to understand what the numbers mean, how to interrogate them, and how to drive decision-making and action from the results.
Or otherwise, you're just going to be ashamed forever because it'll never improve.
On this episode, we're talking about why knowing and showing your financial numbers is consistently the biggest difference between a profitable business that grows and one with stressed-out business owners running on hope. We'll break down why consistency matters more than intensity, the key numbers every tradie or contractor needs to know, why so many business owners avoid looking at their figures, and one massive financial mistake that keeps them stuck in being stressed, reactive, and guessing instead of confidently growing their business. Now tune into this episode if you want to increase your profitability by 56% in the next 90 days. Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with Phil Smith. Mate, let's get going. What are we into? This is very, very important stuff today.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most important things we actually talk about. And I think a lot of trades business owners, contractors are running their business based on feelings. You know, I feel busy, I feel profitable, it feels like we're growing. But unfortunately, feelings don't pay bills and they don't pay your invoices. And I think the scary thing is that a business can look incredibly successful from the outside, you know, big turnover, busy team, heaps of jobs, new equipment, growing revenue. But behind the scenes, GP's leaking, labor's blowing out, cash flow's tight, tax debt is building, and stress can be through the roof.
Yeah, and so what happens is you think you're going along well, it's all honky-dory, and then right off the bat, the thing falls apart.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like a complete mess, the cash has dried up, and you are in struggle street. And it feels sudden, but actually, if you knew what was going on, it wouldn't be sudden at all, there'd be no surprises. So this episode is really about building visibility and control and consistently knowing and showing those important financial numbers that'll tell you how your business is going and that you need to understand to actually make good decisions about where you're going to take your business.
Yeah, and I think like for me, this really calls the whole analogy of you know flying through cloud, right? And I know you love a good plane yarn,
yeah,
so why
yeah.
don't we get into that?
It's not so much a yarn, it's just like a, like you said, a bit of an analogy. Like if you're a pilot and you're flying through thick clouds or it's nighttime or whatever, you cannot trust your feelings, you know, because your feelings can lie and the plane can feel like it's climbing, but it's not. Or, you know, you think you're flying level, but you're banking to the right or the left, or you might even be descending. You lose all orientation, and that's a problem. And that's why, obviously, elite pilots, they use instruments, you know, instrument flight rules. They look at their instruments, and they trust their instruments, and they ignore what their feelings are telling them. And for us as business owners, we need to be exactly the same. And the trouble is, as you said, most business owners are actually running their businesses on emotion, which is kind of like visual flight rules. What do I think's going on?
Yeah.
What can I see? And it feels like I'm making money. It feels like things are good. It feels like we're busy enough. But as you said, the reality hits and it's not. You run out of money. It's just not happening properly. And this is a big problem. And I mean, just recently we had one of our members who's only been with us a little while, but they thought they had their financials sorted. They're doing $3.8 million in revenue. Thought they were heading towards a phenomenal year, but the accountant calls them in for an urgent meeting and the numbers just weren't what they thought. You know, they went from thinking they had a profit of $700,000 or $800,000 to a profit of about $30,000 because they just weren't across this. They were kind of living in hope, but hope is not a strategy when it comes to your business and, you know, getting the things you want out of life. You've got to have the actual factual details.
Yeah, and I think if we don't have those factual details, whether it's because we're ignoring them or we don't know where to get them or we don't have time to pull them together, we run into big problems.
Yeah, well, like we said, you're just flying blind. You really don't know what's going on. And so you make decisions on emotions instead of facts. And guessing is incredibly dangerous in business. You know, things might be going well, and often if you're guessing, you'll stop doing the things that are going well. Even it's just stuff like that, or you don't actually know what the actual real issues are. So it's a big thing. And then this is a massive one. People mistake revenue. You know, top line revenue for success. I talk about golf. You know, you drive for show, you putt for dough. Well, revenue is like driving for show. Mm. You know, big off the tee, it doesn't matter if you four putt, you still suck.
Yeah.
And so if you run your business on revenue and just looking at that top line, you've got a massive problem. You've got to look at your margins, not your revenue. That's what really counts.
I feel like you always call out my golf game here, bro, but yeah, it's all right.
Well, in fairness, you can drive, mate. You can definitely hit the ball
definitely
a long
drive.
Way.
I can hit the ball a long way. Putting's a different story, right? That's why I'm not a pro golfer.
Well, and I can't drive that far or putt very well, so, you know, whatever.
Hey, we're a good team.
That's perfect. That's right. I can carry the bag.
Yeah.
I think that the other thing, though, is if then you can actually waste a lot of effort. Like, if you don't track what you're doing, you can do a lot of work that just doesn't count. You know, marketing that's not working, you're not tracking it. If you're not tracking the productivity, the team's doing stuff, you're not really sure. Like you, pricing a whole lot of work. You don't know how much you're winning or where you're winning. There's no visibility. So again, hope is not a strategy. Measuring stuff is a strategy.
Absolutely.
Again, problems get found too late. So things are just sort of bumbling along and you don't know. And so most disasters don't happen overnight. There's a lot of tells there, but if you're not tracking it, you just don't know. And all of a sudden you're like smacked in the face. How did that happen? Well, you know, the writing's been on the wall if you could read the writing, if you were tracking it. Your stress goes up, obviously, because things fall apart. And this inevitably happens if you don't track your numbers.
Yeah,
you can go on for a while, but then things will change, or your inputs go up, your labor goes up, your materials go up, and you're not tracking, you're not understanding the impact it's having. And then all of a sudden it's pow, like game over, and you're like, whoa, what happened? So this is massively important.
Well, you wouldn't drive your car blindfolded, and so don't run your business blindfolded either. I think that's really the key.
I mean, it's the biggest frustration we have coaching people is like, you wouldn't drive a car blindfolded. You wouldn't play a game of sport without keeping the score. So why would you run a business, which is unbelievably important, without actually tracking how you're going?
No, it's crazy. And I think, you know, we'll dig into a lot of the reasons why someone might think they should. But
yeah, and there's no blame here. There's no blame. But it is our responsibility as business owners to really get on top of this. This is the key thing. No blame. But if you're going to fix this, you've got to take responsibility for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if we do take responsibility, we do fix it, we get that visibility and we track these numbers right, we get some huge upsides.
Yeah, well, there's clarity. You know what the issues are. You make better decisions. You're going to get a lot faster growth in your business because those feedback loops are going to work. More profit, more cash. And ultimately, cash and profit are very important for lifestyle. You know, if you want freedom, you do need money and time. Money helps you buy time. So stress goes down dramatically when you're across this stuff. It's so, so important. You stop feeling reactive and uncertain. You feel certain and confident about where you're heading.
Yeah, absolutely. And so should we get into where to start with this? Because I think at this point people are like, okay, we get it. Let's track these numbers. But let's maybe start with like the big mistake.
Yeah, I think this is a great place to start. The big mistake here is that most owners mistake activity and busyness for progress.
Mm.
And that's a mistake because without the measurement, you don't know whether you're actually making progress.
Yeah.
So if you're busy, that doesn't mean you're making progress. You're only making progress if you can see result A to result B, is that better? Yeah. That's progress.
Yeah.
If I'm making sales, I feel good. Well, that's all fine, but you know, may not be making profit.
Well, it's kind of like that golf analogy again. It's like if I might be able to drive, you know, way further than you, but if you hit it down the fairway and my monster drive is hit backwards onto the previous hole, you're in a good spot and I'm not. And so I think the key is like, just because you can do something well or you can do something fast or you can get a lot done, if it's the wrong stuff, then you actually might just go miles in the wrong direction. And so like, just because you're busy doesn't mean that you're actually being effective, and measurement is what tells you you're being effective.
That's exactly right. And the big thing is often you feel a sense of energy and progress when you're really working hard yourself. And you're like, well, if I keep doing this, it should be okay. Well, it may or it may not. But if you're not measuring it, you don't know.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So you've got to measure. So that is the big mistake. Do not mistake busyness and activity with progress. Measure it so you know whether it's progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's get into the key numbers that everyone's got to measure.
Yeah, I think this is a good place to start. This is, you know, there's a lot you can measure, but there's some things you absolutely must measure. Mm. And yes, you do need to measure revenue, which is how much sales am I making? And you want to do that on a monthly basis. What am I actually generating from the work? The second thing is gross profit. Now, gross profit is basically the profit from the jobs. It's the revenue less the cost of doing the job, which is your labor and your materials and maybe some subcontractors directly associated with that job. But it tells you how profitable your jobs are. You absolutely need to understand gross profit. And then if you've got revenue, take gross profit off it. That gives you your gross profit. You take your overheads off, you get your net profit. And net profit is one of those critical things you need to measure, because that's basically how profitable the business is overall.
Yep.
The thing is that gross profit is the big driver of net profit. So you want both of those things.
Yeah. Well, you need to look at both. I think a lot of the time people also think they're measuring net profit. They're actually measuring their bank balance. That's not necessarily the same thing. And I think, again, whether it's your bank balance or your net profit, your biggest lever, like you said, to actually improving those numbers is your gross profit. So that's why we got to look at both.
Yep. Profit per job. This is like the foundational measure. And that's effectively every time you do a job, measure how profitable that was. It's like a mini profit and loss for each job. And we call it back costing. You need to know this because some jobs are profitable, some are not. You need to know which ones are, which ones aren't. You try and do more of the ones that are, less of the ones that aren't. And if they're not profitable, you look at why aren't they profitable?
Yeah, can we improve it? And if not, should we even be doing it?
Yeah, and often you can improve it just by looking at it. You're like, far out, this job's getting a 12% margin. My other jobs are getting 50%. What's going wrong here? Oh, okay, well, it's kind of obvious. I've got the wrong people doing it, or I'm not charging enough, or there's lots of scheduling issues, whatever.
Yeah, and that type of customer is difficult. Yeah. We put Tony on those jobs, and that's why 12%. Nah.
Well, I mean, it's fair. Like,
I mean, it can happen, right? Sometimes that's what stands out. But I think usually when our members get into back costing, you know, they start just seeing the numbers, and it's usually blaringly obvious. There's, you know, you don't have to look deep to see where something's going wrong, and there's almost always a pattern to it. And once you see that pattern, you can improve it.
There's always a pattern. That's the key, pattern recognition. So profit per job. Labor utilization is how much of the time you pay for from your technicians and your tradespeople are you actually billing? How much is chargeable? And that's a percentage.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 40, 80, you know, 90, 100%, whatever it is, you figure it out because that's a big issue. And if it's too low, you work on it. So they are important measures. You need to know your accounts receivable, how many people owe you money, your accounts payable, how many people you owe money to. A cash flow forecast, which is basically, hey, for the next 12 weeks, each week, where does my bank balance sit?
Yep.
So I'm not ever surprised. It's actually quite easy to do, and it's just an estimate of the money you'll have in the bank, so you're not surprised.
Yeah.
And the last thing, absolutely critical, is your sales pipeline. You know, how much work have I got in the pipeline? How much work is quoted? How much work is confirmed? So I can see where I'm standing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think these are the minimums, right? It's like you said earlier, like there's actually a lot more that you should and
could.
You know, could. Measure, but I think the key is at a bare minimum, you need to be measuring these statistics. If you're not, then essentially you're driving that car with a blindfold on, which is not a recommended strategy.
What I would say is this is the minimum, but if you did this well and consistently, you're going to have a pretty solid operation.
Yeah.
You will. And when I say consistently, it's probably important to unpack what that means because that is actually the key here.
Yes. And I think this is where a lot of our members fall over.
Yep.
And again, we'll say, hey, are you consistently measuring this stuff? Yeah. And then we define consistently to them. They go, oh, okay, maybe not that.
Not so much.
And really what consistency means is all the time, without fail, without excuses. So, you know, for example, are you back costing consistently? What I mean is, do you back cost every single job? Do you trend those by different work types? Do you look at those trends and then convert it into back costing and GP dollars per hour? And do you use that to make the right decisions about which work to chase, what to improve, et cetera? Then they'll say, well, yeah, it's real consistent because I back cost a couple of jobs a week. I'm like, this is not the same thing, right? And so I think it's all the time, without fail, without excuses. That is consistent. Yep. Anything less than that is not consistent. It is sporadic. And I think that's a really important definition.
Yeah, this is about discipline and focus. And it feels hard, but it's way better than the alternative, which is chaos and poor profitability. So, you know, like you said, every job needs to be back costed. You have weekly KPIs where you're checking your cash flow, your AR, you're checking your sales pipeline every week. So you're not getting a surprise. You need a monthly profit and loss and balance sheet. Every month that's completed, ideally by the 10th or the 15th of the following month. So you've got some real-time data. And you can make some decisions how you track. A weekly update of the cash flow forecast, that's critical. So those are the big things. You know, just don't play the game without keeping score. You've just got to be really consistent. And what happens, as we know, is most people ignore the numbers for months or they get busy or whatever, and they panic and they get slapped in the face with, oh, wow, I didn't realize where we were. So consistency is the absolute key.
Well, consistency also makes things easier, like kind of like cleaning, right? Like you clean your house or, you know, you weed your garden or whatever. It's like if I weed my garden once a quarter, you know, then I'm going to have a really big job on my hands. It's going to be a pain in the ass. It might take me a few days and I'm going to hate every second of it. Whereas if I like every time I see a weed kind of sprout up, I rip it out immediately, then it's like a 1 or 2 second job that's just consistent every day, rather than a 2 or 3 day pain in the ass where I've got a lot of work to do. And I tell you which one I'd rather do. So I think the key is like consistency actually beats intensity every time. Like I would, if the weeding analogy, I'd way rather do a tiny amount of work every day than do that absolute pain in the ass once a quarter. And it's the same with looking at your figures. It's the same with inputting the right numbers. Because when you're looking at these figures, remember, garbage in, garbage out. Like if you're, you know, doing everything consistently, the member you spoke about earlier doing 3.8 mil, the real problem was that they figured out after a year that there was one specific thing that they were not reconciling through their financials at all. And as a result, when that was uncovered a year later, it drastically ruined all the figures that we were looking at. And we could see their figures, but we couldn't see the thing that they weren't reconciling. And if the reconciliations were done properly daily, this would not have been a factor. Everyone would have known earlier, we could have solved this problem. So I think the point is do a little bit of work all the time rather than trying to do a massive catch-up sometimes. Consistently beats intensity.
Yeah. And so why must we be consistent is really the question. Well, it's about behavior, because behavior change generates change in results. And without real-time feedback, we don't actually make behavior changes because we don't know what we need to change. We can't see where we're going wrong, and we can't see where we're going right. We can't see what the issues are. So it is literally flying blind. So if you don't have the information, you're not going to change what you're doing. And it's kind of, it actually blows my mind, even after coaching people for 18 years in this industry, is if people get the right information, it's almost by magic that they start making improvements, because everyone's pretty smart and they're like, that doesn't make sense. That's dumb. I need to change that. I need to improve my scheduling. I need a process to make sure there's not mistakes. I need, you know, better comms with my clients. It's just kind of obvious when they see the results.
Yeah, well, what gets measured gets managed, right,
Peter? That's Drucker. Right. Yeah. He's dead just now, but he's very smart. So you can manage what you can measure. It's very simple. And so business growth is simply a loop. It's a loop. And I like the phrase, can I, which is constant and never-ending improvement. So it's a loop. So, you know, you back cost your jobs, or look at your P&L, you see your GP is low, and you're like, okay, well, actually, I haven't increased my pricing for like 18 months. Well, I can see this is really having an effect now, so I'm going to bump my pricing up.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you test it. Yep, that looks good, but it's still not quite where I want it to be. I'm looking at some of the productivity. Well, I'll just tweak that. And then you keep improving it. You keep improving it. Your labor's a bit high. Your utilization is low, let's say. Well, my scheduling's not quite right. Like guys are, you know, sitting around doing nothing for a period of time, or they come to the factory in the morning for like half an hour for like
or
coffee.
They come back to the workshop between every job or something or whatever. Like that. And but the point is you can see it.
You can see the impact of it.
Yeah.
If you can't see the impact of it, you don't understand what's actually happening. You like kind of make excuses for, it's just a little bit of time here and there.
Mm.
But the thing in a trades business, in a service business or a contracting business, it's death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Mm.
And a loss of half an hour every day, if you've got a team of any size, it's a massive amount of money. It's a monumental amount. It's tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and the devil is in the detail. And measuring it is how you see that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, basically measurement, insight, action, behavior change, measurement. Insight, action, behavior change. Repeat, repeat, repeat forever.
Mm.
Forever.
Yeah.
That is the process of running a business. That is the process of operations.
Mm.
Think about pricing. You do the job. It doesn't come out where you want it. You don't make as much money. You're like, actually, we did a good job on that. But you look at your pricing, you're like, man, we just underestimated how long that's going to, we change the pricing next time. So that loop, constant and never-ending improvement. That's the power of consistency. If you're not consistent, you don't get the inputs. You can't make the changes because you don't have the information.
Yeah, 100%. And I think let's get into abdication, because I think this is something we see all the time, right?
It's a big problem.
Yeah, people are like, hey, look, I really want to know my numbers. I'll get so-and-so to do it. And instead of partnering with people on actually getting the right numbers, a lot of the time we abdicate rather than delegating, right? And just say, hey, it's their problem. And, you know, not just to their team either. You know, a lot of people abdicate responsibility for their numbers to their accountant, for example. And once a year they go see the accountant and go, how did I do? Which is crazy. It's like, not only have I been driving blind, but I only take the blindfold off for a quick look once every 100 miles. And I don't even actually take it off. I just ask the passenger every 100 miles, hey, dude, are we still on track? Like, that's crazy, right?
And so, with the accountant, they listen to the accountant, honestly, and they don't even know what the accountant's talking about. But we're too ashamed to ask in case we feel stupid.
Well, half the time the accountant doesn't really know what is going on in your business anyway, but we won't go there.
Let's not go there, mate. You'll get me started. But you're 100% right. You cannot abdicate responsibility for your financial numbers and results to someone else. Now, that, let me be very clear here. That doesn't mean that you have to crunch every number and do all the costings and produce all the reports. In fact, you shouldn't. If you're doing that, you've got a big problem. But you 100% need to understand what the numbers mean, how to interrogate them, and how to drive decision-making and action from the results. And if you can't do that, that's okay. You've probably never been taught it. It's not something you get taught in your apprenticeship. But if you want a successful business, that is the price of entry. You need to stump up and actually do the work to figure it out. And I can tell you, it is not actually that hard, but it feels like it because it's new.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But if you can plumb out a house, if you've hired a few people, if you know how to price work, you're smart enough to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
100%.
And I think that's the key. It's just taking responsibility for that understanding and for things being done around like actual collection of the numbers, presentation of the numbers, review of the numbers, analysis of the numbers. Take responsibility and accountability for these things happening and actually use it. And I think that's the key is, you know, this may be something new to you, but you've learned hard things before. Like, you know, everything was new to you until you learned it. And you will learn this too. It's actually very simple. It's just a matter of doing it.
Well, that's why you need a coach, Profitable Tradie.
Yeah.
This is honestly, this is what we spend so much time on, and it makes such a difference. It's unbelievable.
And there's a reason why it's the first thing we focus on when someone joins the program, is because this is literally how we know whether anything else worked.
Yeah,
you know, if we worked on anything else first, the hard part is that you wouldn't actually know if it worked or not. It'd be gut feel, which, as we said, that's not the way to run a business.
Blind.
So let's talk about why people avoid it, because I mean, like, abdicating is one thing, but like, why do people even do that?
Well, first thing is fear. I mean, fear in a number of ways. You know, you might be scared of finding out what the actual answer is.
Yeah.
And sometimes, honestly, for people, ignorance is bliss, and having to face the reality is tough.
Yeah. Now, before we move on, people say, you know what, that's not me. I'm not that guy. I want the truth. Now, especially for you fellas listening, I just want you to think about this. You know, every time you get sick, do you go to the doctor? I bet you don't. I bet you're like, nah, it'll come right. It'll come right. You avoid going to the doctor because you're like, you know what, it's going to be fine. Look, we are naturally avoidant. You know, it's like, I don't want to look under the bed because what if the boogeyman is there? Do you know what I mean? And so I think the thing is that fear is very real. Everybody does feel this. It is a normal thing, and it's okay if you've honestly been avoiding this because you were a bit worried or you were feeling overwhelmed or whatever. But hey, it's time to face up. It's time to give it a look. It's time to see what's going on. Because if you don't, then you're also powerless. There's nothing that you can do to actually improve.
I mean, avoidance is a strategy that people use a lot to deal with emotional challenges. It feels safer in the short term, but it just compounds the pain in the long term.
Yeah.
And so I think fear is a big thing. Overwhelm is another thing. I mean, if you don't know how to do this, it is quite overwhelming, and I get it. Yes, no, you've got to do forecasting and GP analysis and put some dashboards and financial reporting together. And so you can feel out of your depth or just too busy to deal with it, or both.
Yeah.
And I get that. I totally understand that. And so what actually happens is you're like, oh, I know I need to do this, and you kind of get started and you're like, oh, what am I doing? And often it's just easier to go and do the stuff that you're really good at. Maybe it's doing some more jobs or pricing some more work or go and having some coffees or catch-ups with some clients, whatever, because you just go and do what you're good at. And I mean, we all do that, and that's understandable, but it's not acceptable if you want to have a great business. It's not going to get you to where you want to go. So that overwhelm is a big part of it. Maybe just too busy in general.
Yeah.
You're just tapped out, and you just can't – you haven't got the bandwidth.
But I think overwhelm – you know, one big thing with overwhelm is sometimes you just have to get started. Like, rather than focusing on the end result of all of this is done, just focus on the starting result of I've made a start. Same as like cleaning out your garage, right? Like at one point or another, we've all had that really messy garage.
That hurts. And you're like, that hurts, bro.
Dude, I know. So this is going to take all day. Man, it's going to be a pain in the ass. But the thing is, just start. Like, just start. And the minute you start, you're going to actually realize, oh, I'm actually making good progress. The progress compounds. You build momentum, and suddenly the garage is clean. You know what's not going to get you a clean garage is staring at it and going, this is going to suck. Like, the longer you stand there thinking this is going to suck, the more likely you are to walk away and just not do it. Like, so just get started.
Yep.
I think that's the key.
And I think that, you know, you've got sort of three key emotions: fear, overwhelm, and the last one is shame for some people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening, you might actually feel embarrassed that you don't understand these numbers properly. And so putting your hand up and saying, hey, don't understand it, I need help, is like a recognition that you're not where you want to be, and you're quite ashamed. Like, well, I'm a business, I should know this, but I don't really want anyone to know that I'm not really where I want to be or where people think I should be.
Yeah.
So shame is a huge deal, or they're embarrassed about what they find and they're ashamed to share it.
Yeah.
And we find that with our members early on. Now, some of them are, we actually connect into their financial systems because we need line of sight into what's actually happening.
Mm.
So there's no bullshit. We know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And some people are a little bit tardy in doing that, often because they're ashamed of what will be found.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at it, like people that really want to make a change, like one thing that actually jumps to mind for me is Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. Mm. Now, when they meet, what's the first line you have to say in the meeting?
Yeah. Hi, Phil. Oh, hi.
I'm Tony and I'm an alcoholic. Now, the reason that you have to say that is because it immediately takes away the ability to hide behind excuses or anything like that. And we can get on with trying to help with the problem. You know, and it's the same with your numbers. If you're ashamed, it's like, I get it, man. Sometimes it might make you feel bad. If you're avoiding it, I get it. Sometimes you don't want to do it. If you're overwhelmed, I get it. It can be a lot of work. Like, I understand. But you have to show me your numbers so I can help you. Like, if you don't, then I cannot help, right? And I think that's the key is whether you're working with us and getting help and showing us your numbers, whether you're working with someone else, whether it's your accountant, could be anyone at all. If you're unwilling to show your numbers, then you are unwilling to get help with your numbers. It's really that simple.
Well, I can remember early days coaching a particular gentleman. Let's call him John. John. I think it was the first session that I had with him. And I was like, hey, man, let's get your P&L. He's like, oh, why do you need that?
Mm.
Well, so we know where you're at. And he literally did not want to share his P&L.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, I think we're done here, man. Like, this is not working. But this is not going to work. Like, I can't help you. And I just sent him on his way because what's the point?
Yeah, well, imagine going to the doctor and you're really sick and they goes, what's wrong? And you're like, nothing. It's like, you're not going to get any help then, are you? Like, they need to know. That's how they help. Like, and I think that's the key is, like, even if you want to do it on your own, well, then you need to know. Like, otherwise, like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to work on? You won't have any clue where to start. And I think that's the key is, like, I understand the shame. I understand where it comes from. But, like, you actually just have to move past that if you want anything to change.
Yep.
Or otherwise, you're just going to be ashamed forever because it'll never improve.
Well, it gets worse. I think what we're driving at here is this is so critical. But because it's about money, there's always an emotional element and a mental element to it. And it's important to unpack that and understand that.
Mm.
And then at a practical level, you know, some people just don't have the capacity to get this stuff done. You're buried in quoting and bids and firefighting and managing problems and doing all this stuff. And you just actually physically are struggling to get the bandwidth to actually consistently do your numbers.
Which is why systems and team matter so much, right?
That's right.
So, I mean, like, firstly, you got to have the right systems. Like, you actually just can't consistently know your numbers without systems. So, you know, you need dashboards, reporting rhythms, scoreboards, accountability, but you also need systems for how you collect data, you know, where it goes, how you see it. It's, if you don't have any systems in place, you just can't actually look at anything. Like, we have some members which will come to us and we try and teach them back costing. They don't actually have a system for measuring what hours or materials were used on a job. So you can't even start back costing. So you need a system for capturing what went into the job. So you can create a system for reviewing, you know, how the job actually performed. So you can create a system for how to price your work. But the point is that system in place allows you to get stuff done. And so I think systems are number one. And the next thing is really team capacity. Because at the end of the day, like, if you want the systems to be followed, there's only so much that you can do, and you might get to a point where you have a great system, but you can't use it because it's only you. So you can't track everything yourself, and that's where you need a team, which is actually creating that reporting, creating that visibility, creating that accountability, and creating that operational rhythm, because otherwise you just become the bottleneck, right?
That's right. I mean, our business, when we started out, I coached a few people and ran a P&L at the end of the month to see how I'd done.
Yeah,
And now we have a team of, like, I think it's 6 or 7 people who, in the finance team, who give us the information and the, you know, the information on how the clients are tracking and all that sort of stuff. And you need that to actually get it done.
Yeah,
and I know it feels like, well, I'm spending all this money to count this money and blah blah blah. But if you don't spend that money, you'll never know where you're at.
Mm.
And I can tell you, and this is a classic example. Someone hires an operations manager, and they're like, oh my God, I'm losing my mind about the $100,000 or $120,000 or whatever it is I need to pay them.
Mm.
How's this going to work? I'm going to lose money. if they're any good at their job, they will make that back in the margin through better control of the jobs and tracking stuff that you're not doing at the moment because you don't have the time.
Yeah.
And they'll pay for themselves just like that. That's how this works.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, again, like as you said, we are six or seven people whose whole job is financials and reporting. That's it. And again, they pay for themselves easily because if we didn't have that information, we'd be bleeding out way more than the cost of their salary. So it's pretty nuts how that works. But the key is without capacity, you actually physically can't do stuff. And if you can't get something done, then don't be surprised when it doesn't happen. So, I mean, if it's the information you need, well, you need the capacity to actually get it.
Yeah, and doing this consistently is absolutely critical.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've nailed some good points, man. Let's land this plane.
All righty. The businesses that consistently win aren't the businesses working the hardest. They're the businesses that are disciplined enough to measure their financial results consistently. They know the numbers. They show the numbers. They build systems and teams that actually help them create that visibility. Because there's no point being busy if you have no idea whether your efforts are actually producing results. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie podcast.